Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim, and our guest today is Omri. So Omri, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Awesome. So my name is Omri Hurwitz. So I own a relatively big, actually a pretty big by now, media agency. So I live in Israel, but we do marketing in the U.S. So we're a team of seven people. Most of them live or in the U.S. or in Dubai or in Spain. We do three major things. One, we do PR for startups, Israeli startups and US-based startups. We do it in the US media. The second thing we do is we do investing in startups. So we invest into startups and buy equity. And then the third thing we do is we buy media channels in the US. For example, let's say you have this podcast, you know, one day, you know, we might be bidding on buying a piece of it or something, right? So that's another thing that we do. So we do those three main things. And yeah. That's about us. Yeah.
Awesome. So how did you get into the media industry in the first place?
So that's a good question. So I actually started out as a writer, writing. So I wrote, you know, short stories and then articles and then business articles and those kind of stuff. And through that, I started doing PR in the travel industry and doing some stuff over there. And then I got into tech working with startups actually through PPC advertising. And through that, I understood that I love doing PR more than I like to do, you know, straight on advertising. And I built this this company, Omri Hurwitz Media. So that's and then we started working in startups and it took off. Yeah.
Awesome. So when it comes to PR, obviously it can be challenging because you have to have a good story. So like when you're working with a company, like what do you make sure, you know, to do in order to have a successful PR campaign?
So that's a great question. So a lot of startups don't have well enough story because your product is not as interesting as other companies. So in tech, in our field, an interesting story is basically like a funding announcement. Okay, this company raised $30 million, you know, and that those type of stories reporters love. Those type of stories, almost every PR agency can do something with it, right? Get them a TechCrunch article, VentureBeat article, et cetera, et cetera. The issue is, what happens when you don't have a good story like that? What happens if you don't have a funding announcement? So what we do in our whole modern PR approach does is, basically, we're able to dig deep into each company, doesn't matter what they do, and find angles and find ways to kind of tell their story to a wider audience and make it attractive for reporters. So in Athens, we view ourselves like a marketplace in terms of, on one side, we have our clients, but on the other side, we have reporters that we work for them as well. So we need to make sure that the kind of content and the kind of pitches that we do incentivizes them to write about it. So there's many different ways to do that, and it comes to basically doing a lot of research, a lot of diving deep into the company, understanding how their technology might be different than their competitor's technology, and really figuring out what type of angles would bite. And you know, it's an optimization process. So we do A/B testing on those sort of stuff. So you know, there are some clients that are going to start working with us, and they're going to see results right away. And there are some other clients that will take a bit more time to see those results because we're working on the story.
Awesome. So when it comes to PR, like how do you differentiate versus like how much needs to be sort of more organic, right? That you're getting somebody into an article or like on a TV show versus somebody running ads, getting in front of more people. Like how do you kind of balance out? Because I mean, obviously there's, you know, budgets involved. So what does that look like?
Yeah, so 100%. So usually I advise in general, I think like my personal take is that a company has to do 60% organic and then 40%, you know, paid advertising. So listen, paid advertising is an amazing tool. You need it, right? Every company needs it to make sure you're hitting the right audience and targeting. And there's amazing tools with LinkedIn ads, if you're a startup, or Facebook ads. Instagram ads, et cetera. The problem with that strategy and why it's only 40% and not, 60% is that it's not, if you build your whole business only based on advertising, then you're not, then, Facebook or LinkedIn can raise their cost per lead cost and you're fucked, right? So you need to, so that's why I advise on having like 60% organic. And when I mean organic, it's, investing in SEO, investing in PR, investing in thought leadership on LinkedIn, investing on podcasts, right? In interviewing people that you find in your niche and in your targeted audience, doing all those kind of stuff, using Twitter X, using that a lot. So basically, I like to answer your question, it's 60, 40, 60% organic. And the bigger the brand gets, probably they're gonna need to do more advertising. But the really, really successful companies like Salesforce or other big brands that I'm currently thinking about, they've been really good. They've let their all organic approach and their organic PR approach really lead the way, which make got them clients in a very, very cost-effective manner.
For sure. So, what would you say is the biggest challenge that you're facing in your business right now?
I would say that, there's right now there's about seven PR people for one reporter. So think about it. There's about seven agencies contacting one reporter at any given time, which means that you're essentially, and every agency has like more clients, where we have like 30 something clients. So basically, you're fighting more and more in getting that, PR space while there's not enough reporters, right? On the other hand, there's more owned media. So there's like platforms like Substack and newsletters and podcasts like this one, and like a lot of different other cool, amazing media channels that can like open up, the amount of media opportunities that you can get for your clients, right? So that's, I would say like it's definitely a challenge, but it's also there's a solution for it. Other than that, I would say that another challenge is probably client expectations. So some clients are have a very sexy product and very sexy brand, and it's easier to get them coverage in articles. So we get this quite often where because we have such a big client roster, is that one startup can look at what we've been doing for another startup, and you're like, hey, why aren't we able to get the same articles that they do? But and then you kind of need to tell them. I mean, you're not the same company. You're in a different stage. You're still working on, on finding your story, finding your product market fit. Like, it's not the same thing. It's not, you can't compare apples to oranges, right? So that's kind of like another challenge.
So, but do you pick and choose who your clients are? Because I'm sure there's probably, certain people might come to you and you're like, hey, like it's not a good product. There's no story here. Like, because obviously for you, when you take somebody on, you want to be successful. So what does that look like for you?
That's a great question. So I can tell you that we did play a lot with like not taking on clients in terms of like, like you said, like being more like smart about it, like looking at them and say, hey, guys, I don't think this is a good fit, et cetera, et cetera. But then something happened, and I think it's interesting. The same clients, so we told them, hey, don't work with us, go away. They did two things. Or they went to a competitor, okay, and then they got fucked in that sense. Or the second thing that they did is they waited a few months and then they came back to us and they said, listen, now we're ready. And then what we did was, yeah, it seems like now you're ready. Let's take you guys on. But then we found out that it doesn't matter what they think, or it doesn't even matter what we think. The market provides the truth, right? So now we don't do that. If they have the budgets and they want to work with us, it's on them, right? It's like they know what they're in, they know what we guarantee, they know what we don't guarantee, and they take the chance as much as we do. And I tell you this, I've been super surprised, and this is actually very interesting for the audience. This is something that I think everyone should know. I was fucking surprised to see that a lot of those clients that we thought are not good enough to be our clients actually became very easy clients to market outside and like to pitch, and like, the success rate with them was very high. And there were other clients when we thought, hey, they're the perfect client, right? And they turned out to be the most difficult client because like we thought about them one way, but the market thought about them the other way, and the whole chemistry with them and et cetera. So it really, really depends. And I'm now in a place where we're not judging. We're just letting everybody come in, seeing how it goes, and optimizing as we go forward.
So, like, are you constantly, like, in the very beginning, right? Because somebody's going to come in and work with you. There's probably like some level of beta testing, because as you mentioned, because you might have one perception, they might have a different perception. Ultimately, like, what matters is what the audience thinks, like who they're targeting, what those people think. So how do you kind of beta test, like when you put like an article out and say, hey, this is what we have to cover to make sure it's going to be efficient, or just to really kind of test out this concept?
Right. So it happens in like three ways. The first way is basically we prepare like a handful of pitches to reporters, usually about like five or six different versions. Then we take those versions and we start pitching them out to our target audience. Like we have a target audience of, let's say, 30, 40 publications. We start sending them out those pitches, getting feedback, listening to reporters, listening to what they're saying. Sometimes there is no feedback at all, which at that point, you know, that there, you need to have a whole different way to, you know, to pitch them. Like, it's not working. Definitely, we should do something else, right? So that's the first way. The second way we do is once articles start coming out, like, you know, let's say we took you as a PR client and there's, you know, articles about Dan Melnick, you know, going out there. We're going to start taking those articles and start posting them on social media, on LinkedIn, Twitter, etc. And then we're going to see how, like, you know, how like people on the feed react to those type of, to those, to that content, to the headline. Did it get lots of likes? Is it accurate enough? Do people understand what the article means? Are people clicking inside the article, et cetera, et cetera? And then the third way is the third way we do that is basically we ask people directly. So let's say we did an article on you, on Dan Melnick, and you know this article is live. We've already like posted it on LinkedIn. Now I'm gonna just send it to a few of my friends, a few of my colleagues, a few of my clients, just, you know, nonchalantly telling them, hey guys, there's a new article about our client, Dan. What do you think about this article? Like, do you think Dan, you know, has what it takes? Do you think, you know, do you understand what the article is trying to say? Blah, blah, blah. And that is a great reflection of like understanding like what works, what doesn't, what you need to optimize, what you need to A/B test, how you can get better, how can the client get better? So those are like the three main pillars of the process.
Makes sense. Like, as of now, how do you get your clients? Is it all through organic or do you run ads for your business?
Great question. So basically all organic. So three ways. One, client referrals, like our client telling other people, guys, you got to work with this agency. The second thing is LinkedIn. I mean, we're super major on LinkedIn. I think I've got like over like 30 something thousand followers, and I get, you know, my DM is stacked. Like, hey, Omri, can we work with you? Hey, Omri, can we get on a call? Hey, Omri, can we get on a call? Like tons of DMs. Right. Like most of them are not client materials because they don't have the budgets, right? But, it, you know, out of those like 60 DMs I get a day, probably one or two will become clients eventually or immediately, right? So that's the second thing. And then the third thing is like articles about our company. So we also do PR for ourselves. And then if someone reads that article and contacts us, and I look at that as an organic thing, because PR is an organic play. So those are like the three main verticals. We have been like kind of thinking about like inserting, also doing some advertising and stuff. I don't know. What do you think? Do you have any tips in doing that?
Well, I'm just curious, right? Well, because like you mentioned, right, 60 people per day are reaching out to you. That's an insane number. So like,
it's massive.
Yeah. And like, you're a busy guy, I'm sure. It's like, how do you manage your time? I guess that's my question. Like, do you like, cause I'm sure even before you hop on a call with somebody, like, are you vetting them saying, hey, this is how much we, you know, cost? Like, how do you make sure that it, you know, makes sense even hop on a call?
Oh man, I love this. So, you know, I'm a big, big, big productivity guy, and like time management, productivity, like using tools, like philosophies, like I've been like researching that field for like a long time. I really think it's an important field, especially now where like it's so important. Like every second you can like amplify to do something incredible, right? And knowing what's like a waste of time and what's not. I have a very simple process that I love. I optimized it to, and I continue to optimize it. So basically, let's say I get 60 DMs, okay? You know what? I want to tell you something else, okay, before that. So, you know, when I started out, you know, I would get like maybe when like the whole LinkedIn organic thing started working, I would get three DMs a week, okay, four or five DMs a week. And I would take all those meetings. I'll take on a call and I would sit in their call and I was like, we were talking. They're like, hey, can you explain me more about what you guys do? And I would tell them about what we do and I would be very passionate and stuff like that. And then they would ask them, okay, great, sounds amazing, blah, blah, blah. And what is the price? And I'll tell them, we charge around $5,000, $6,000, depending on the package that you want to do per month. And they're like, oh, that's and you could see on the you could see on them that they are so fucking far away from having that budget that this whole like 40-minute call was just like a fucking waste of time. I kept on doing that until I understood that it's that's not how we do. So and then I started getting more and more DMs. And then I there's this very simple thing that I do. I get a DM. They say, hey, Omri, we don't know each other, but I see that you do amazing work on the PR front. I'm the CEO of blah, 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 blah. We do blah, 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 blah. And then I tell them, hi, James. Nice to meet you. What's your PR budget? Question mark. And then two things happen. Or he answers me and tells me, hi, Omri, our PR budget is currently between $7,000 to $10,000 a month. Or he answers me with the following, huh, geez, Omri, we haven't really thought about it. And if he answers me on the second thing, there is no way he's getting a meeting with me. I don't care who he is. I don't care if he's the friend of a friend. We're never gonna go on a Zoom call together. Never. Unless he comes back to me and he tells me, hey, Omri, we have 30K to spend. How would you suggest we do that? Right? So that's the easiest way. And that like takes out like about 90% of the relevant of the people who reach out. So it's basically, and look, I've optimized it. So I started out differently. I said, oh, how many money did you guys raise? They wanted to know if the company has money, right? But that didn't, and they would tell me, hey, we raised 60 million. But that still doesn't answer the right question, right? If
Right.
they have a PR budget, right? So like I optimized it, I did many things, but this is the most accurate thing. So basically, to your audience, I really encourage them to do this. Hell, ask him. Ask them, like, hi, nice to meet you. What's your current budget for this? Right? If you are,
Right.
if you're like, if you do cold outreach as a service,
Right.
ask them, what's your outreach? Because listen, if I go out and I want to work with an agency,
Right.
okay? If I want to work with an agency, I already know what my budget is because I know
Right.
what I'm looking to get, right? Because I'm thinking about it. It's not like I'm just trying to waste people's time. I have an agenda, I have a goal,
Right.
and I want
Right.
to see it's of a perfect fit. So yeah.
It's interesting, yeah, because I've seen that work exactly. Like oftentimes, people say, "Oh, yeah, like I don't want to give it out. I want to see what what you propose or this." It's a very interesting dynamic. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, if you have that many messages, it's important to vet people. But do you ever have like VAs that help manage your LinkedIn, or is it all you?
It's all me. All me. Yeah, I do have like VAs that help with other stuff, but LinkedIn, I'm the only one who has the login info to my LinkedIn. Yeah, it's a pretty precious asset. It's unbelievable, actually. Yeah, this
So how did
asset.
you build it up, right? Because you mentioned you started like in 2018, but like was it just, posting a lot? Like how did you really like create this kind of value to build up your LinkedIn over the years?
Man, so I started out, people were laughing at me. I would post like almost daily. I would get like four likes, five likes. Nobody would take me seriously. I'm 27 now, so I'm still relatively very, very young in the industry. But right now, I already have like the authority and like more awareness, and like people know who I am, so they respect me. But when I started out, man, people were shitting on me left and right, bro. They were fucking shitting at me. Who's this guy who thinks he knows this and et cetera, blah, blah. And even people on LinkedIn, people who work for LinkedIn would laugh at me. Like there was this conference, LinkedIn conference that I like someone brought me in and they said, why did you bring him in? It's only like an exclusive thing. He's too dead, blah, blah. But I didn't give a shit, bro. I knew that I'm gonna dominate this space. I kept doing what I know. I knew that I have a marketing talent, and I knew that I have something that they don't have, which is like understanding how to like push things aggressively. So a lot of time, man, in this day and age, people are like too politically correct. They're like too like gentle, too et cetera. And I knew that I have the fierce, like I'm very fierce, and I can aggressively make my way in this industry. And those four likes turned into 10 likes, and those 10 likes turned into 15 likes. And it just kept being consistent and consistent and consistent and really saying things that are not politically correct. So I would go out against people, man. I would go at people who are like in a higher league than I was at that time. And I would go at them to, hey, I don't like what this guy is saying. I don't agree with that. This is what I think we should do, et cetera, et cetera. It may be controversial, but it also made me more well known. And then, dude, once you start getting like 50, 60 likes every post, it's just, that is, it just skyrockets and you start building that momentum.
So do you still post every day?
I post about 4 or 5 times a week. Yeah, I was busy recently with everything that has been going on, but yeah, I
Right.
try to post every day, sometimes even twice a day. Yeah.
So, like, as of now, like, what do you post about? Like, what's, like a successful LinkedIn post? Is it more of just posting about like different strategies or different client case studies? Like, what are you posting about to kind of keep your clients and or potential clients engaged?
Yeah, so basically, we are we come in to we are in a very traditional industry, the PR industry, and we're a modern PR company compared to traditional ones. So basically, I kind of shit on traditional approaches, tell them like what I think like the real modern PR approach should be, right? I say it out loud. I say, guys, this strategy was great for the 1960s or the 1970s, but now we're in 2023 and there's so many other platforms that PR has changed, and you need to understand how PR works today. So that it's like a very general bracket, but everything that lies in that bracket is usually goes very viral because it goes viral because of two things. Because the traditionalists, they are mad, right? And they say like, no, you're not completely right, you blah blah blah. So they comment and stuff, and then their audience sees this as well. And then the people that agree with me are like, Omri, you're so right. Finally, someone is saying the truth, et cetera, et cetera. And then, so I think basically the tip here is like, in whatever space you are, be a bit controversial, like make it sexy, like, make it fun. Like, don't be so politically correct. Let yourself loose. Let his, your mind is different than other people's minds. And usually, if you're a business owner and entrepreneur, you want to see something, you want to do something different. So let your horses loose, man. Go play, So that's
For
my
sure.
tip. Yeah.
So, what is your one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this company?
Wow, that's a good one. So that's a good one. I think basically being more patient. Like, on one side, don't be okay. So don't be patient in the day to day. Like in the day to day, you need to be like not patient. You need to move things. You need to make things move fast. You need to hustle. You need to make sure things are working like a well-oiled machine. But on the long term, especially with client relationships, they be more easy on them. Like, I can't tell you how many clients I fought with. There are still clients today because we do such a good job. But I've been a very aggressive guy who talked to a lot of people, and like I definitely offended lots of CEOs or stuff like that. But you need to be more patient. You need to understand that the other side, your clients, your prospects, they're going through a lot. They're like in a maze, man. They don't know like if their company is gonna work. They don't know if they're gonna have in they're gonna raise enough money. They don't know like if what they're doing is like better than the competitors. They don't really know that unless like they have a very successful company that raised like $200 million, et cetera. Be more have more empathy for them. Be more patient. Understand that not everyone moves at the same pace that you do. Some people take it more slow. And it's like dating, man. It's you need to know who you're dating and kind of play through that field. Yeah.
For sure. So if we're going to chat again in 1 year from now, where do you see things going for the business?
I think we're gonna be so currently we're number two in our vertical. We're the number two biggest PR industry in our sector to our client market. In 1 year, we're definitely gonna be number one. We're gonna be number one, and we're gonna be building more things and going into more things, right? So we're not just like a PR company. We're a media business. We're a media company. We have different things that we do. We have investing, and yeah, we're gonna dominate the space. We're gonna be the biggest, strongest age, media company that has ever been in the whole world. Yeah.
Awesome. That's exciting. Yeah, and we're rooting for you. So, like, if somebody watching this wanted to reach out, do you mind sharing your website or social media handles? What's the best way to get in contact with you?
100%. So, website is omrihurwitz.com. LinkedIn, Omri Hurwitz. Twitter at Omri Hurwitz. So, yeah, basically easy. And you guys can also email me at Omri at omrihurwitz.com. As you see, I'm a big fan of using your name as the brand. Yeah, I think it's important, especially in today's kind of landscape where everyone can just build, an AI kind of thing. It's important to put a name to it. That's my personal take. I know people will disagree with me. That's my take.
Awesome. Well, Omri, thank you so much for your time today. And yeah, we're rooting for you, as I said.
Awesome, Dan. Thank you so much, man, and keep up the great work.
Thank you. Thanks. All right. Bye.
Bye, man.